Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. It's great to see you again. And if you're new here, then it's great to see you for the first time. Thank you very much for stopping by. Today, we have an incredible conversation planned with Jamie Batty. Now, Jamie Batty is a professional rugby player who plays for Glasgow Warriors as prop and has also started for the Scotland squad. In this podcast, we cover everything from rugby to personal life to funny stories that don't normally get shared online about the rugby team. Jamie's an incredible guy, an incredible friend, and honestly, this is a funny conversation that I'm sure you'll really enjoy. Before we start though, if you could do me a huge favor and hit that subscribe button, like button, five-star button, whatever it is, wherever you are, I'd really appreciate it. It honestly helps so much more than you know, and the more likes and subscribes and blah, 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 we can get, the more incredible guests we can get on the podcast. This is the Into the Mind podcast. My name is Harrison Brown. If you're watching or listening, I hope this helps. How have you found it? See, with like live, I remember Dewey talking about this. He was like, it's just horrendously awkward. Like, and you know they're trying to trip you up.
I didn't mind it. Honestly, I don't mind it at all. Mm. It's like, you do have to think about what you're saying, but I just try and be as professional as I can and be as positive as I can. I suppose that's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and how have you found Warriors recently?
It's been good, man. Like,
yeah, with Ali leaving as well.
Aye, well, he's been gone a while now, but I think off the back of winning the league last year, like I'd say unexpectedly from even our point of view, but off the back of that and striving for better things in the future, like it's been a good pre-season so far. Obviously, the first game wasn't the best, or result never went our way, mate, but. It's a good environment to be in at the minute. Like, I'm enjoying it.
And they're winning games. I remember Ali saying as soon as he left, you started winning everything.
You never want to see that. The team you leave, you start winning when you go. But yeah. Nah, Pricey was good for us, man. Like, he's 100. He played over 100 games at the club. But yeah. You can never write somebody off
after
putting that shift for a club. And three test cap line and however many Scotland caps. He's got 50 plus, I think. So. Nah, Pricey was class for us, and we all do things that's right for us. Do you know what I mean? You always make decision for yourself, and if you're not happy somewhere, you make that change. And
yeah,
we all wished him all the best when we went to Edinburgh. So
yeah, is there a bit of spite when you play Edinburgh now? Is there a bit of just like getting?
There always is. It's like we got the one over on them at Scotstoun last year. I know we retained the 1872 Cup, but got one over them. Then obviously we went to Murrayfield. We got done last play of the game. Darcy and Dewey, but. Duham was in touch as well, so
yeah. But
it's always like you always want to beat them. Like,
yeah.
I bet Dewey said the same about us, or Pricey said the same about Glasgow. Like when they play us now, they always want to win. It's just for that kind of bragging, right?
It's a bit like Scotland, England. Like I feel like between Scotland and England, when it comes to the internationals, like there's always an extra level of like.
I've only been involved two Calcutta Cup matches. I mean, I came off the bench in 2018 when we won it for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
That was class. That's when
such a good game.
When Shuggy scored the absolute wonder tries.
And yeah.
I came off the bench that game, mate. And obviously, I was still relatively new at professional rugby then. It was my second season. And to experience something like that was like, I was like, what's going on here? This is mad. This is class.
Yeah.
And also like the night after it and fucking hell.
Where did you go after it? I always see, did you see?
Why the, not, mate?
Why not?
It was never a flash. Like, you're in Why Not with your suit on, thinking you're fucking top dog, standing in a booth with 18-year-olds in front of you, mate. It was Why Not.
Because I saw there was a video of, I remember seeing this video on Twitter of Greg Laidlaw. And did you see it? And his shirt is like ripped open and he's like.
I was there, mate.
He's just gone. He's just so gone.
I was in the corner somewhere, mate. I was there.
Yeah.
But it was that Why Not LED room class. Like, I think that was a week before a week off as well. I think we had like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. And I mean, me and Ali came back to Glasgow. And we went out we went out on Saturday, came back to Glasgow on a Sunday. I think me and him went and done like the Sunday sesh as well, like properly. Like, went for it. First time in 10 years we won the Calcutta Cup.
Yeah.
And went to social and like we got a free, I think we got some free piss in there actually.
Yeah. Because
the guy was obviously watching the games, oh, well done yesterday, boys. Like a couple of drinks on me. But like, fucking yeah.
Absolutely.
Baby, mate. Like, oh, that's things like you always remember, like post-career, you always remember these moments, like big games like that, like England and winning the league, beating Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah. It's flipped now though, because I feel like, especially on the international level, it seems like, I'm going to get shot for saying this, but it does seem like Scotland's better than England now.
Aye, I'd say so. Like, I definitely would say so, but it's always, like the Six Nations, we always step up and we always, for whatever reason, we always pull out the bag and beat England. But then again, you look at England this year in the summer against All Blacks, mate, they should have won the two tests in the class. Like, because just look at the pool of players they have. Like, they've got, well, how many teams are in the Prem? 12?
Yeah.
Then if you wanted to, you could dip into the Champ as well, mate. There's another 10, 12 teams there, mate, with 50 players to each squad. It's madness.
Yeah.
But, aye, shows you.
Yeah.
We're class here, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not me, I didn't play the last game, so.
Well, you dropped something, that's when you dropped something on your foot, right? Is that the weight story?
What week was the beat? I think it was round one, Six Nations.
I think it was round one, because it was the first draw, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the first 2 weeks, actually, I wasn't selected. But yeah, I dropped a 60 kilo weight on my foot week 3 in Six Nations. So
yeah, that's great.
After 2 weeks out with that, mate, it was some story. So just literally released back from camp to Glasgow to play and in the gym, working hard as I do. And I was I wasn't even using the 60s. That's the funny thing. I was using 17s above the 60s and racked
bicep curls.
Yeah,
just 17 bicep curls.
That is.
Yeah, fair enough.
Three reps, mate. So I was using 17s, obviously 60s were sat below it. And yeah, racked the 17s and the 60 just rolled off the rack, square in the foot, mate, broke my set of metatarsal. So 12 weeks sideline for that. It's just stupid gym mistake.
Yeah. And it's not even your mistake.
Nah.
That's whoever's put the weight back's mistake.
So that was quite frustrating. Because obviously I was putting my hand up to kind of get selected as well, towards the back end of Six Nations, and as when you're no picked as well, you want to be playing, you want to be out there to be seen. So at that time as well, I was like, oh fuck, like it was
tough.
But you crack on, you get through it, you know. You always come back better. You always do come back better because you have that time to kind of let the body heal, and like it did serve me well towards the end of the season, because by the time I came back, we only had the two South African games away, Zebre, then it was the playoffs. So I had 5 games post 12-week injury. So I was in a good place for them. And
That's like a really obscure fear that I have, is when I'm like doing bench press in the gym or when I'm doing squats in the gym or something, and I put it back on the rack, I've always got this really obscure fear that it's going to go doof and just land on my head.
So in your spot, mate, you need somebody to spot you. Like, aye. Touch with you. I don't want to get injured in the gym again.
Yeah. Is it normally you that trains with, you were saying, I know that you and Ali are close, but who do you train with now, like closest from the Glasgow team now that Ali's gone?
Train, like gym wise.
Yeah, like gym wise. Is there someone that you go to the gym with?
We all gym together. Like we're also follow our kind of weekly schedule, and forwards all gym together, backs all gym together. But for me, I'm not a big fan of the gym. Like, I do it because I have to.
It's
part of my job. And some boys absolutely love it. Like, Suz, he's obviously now at Glasgow and he's an absolute monster in the gym. Like, he benches like 200 for 3. He's scary strong.
Kilos?
Yeah.
Like 200?
Aye. Like, scary strong.
Holy shit.
And I'm there like 150, like struggling away. Like, I'm bored. I've got a dodgy elbow as well, so I've got a wee board to protect my chest and that. So I'm like struggling and he's repping out 200 kegs. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But, we all just gym together and it's good crack.
And it's the intensity. I've always wondered this because I feel like it within rugby, the backs get the glory, right? Because the backs are the one that scores the tries, but I can see the forwards put in like just as much of a shift, if not more than the backs, I would say.
Oh, mate, we put in so much more effort in the backs, especially at Glasgow. Like we get it tight. Like, we work hard, like, because ultimately forwards win your games.
Yeah,
could be controversial saying that.
Well, but I agree. If you have a bad batch of forwards, you'll never win the ball.
Aye.
So like you need the forwards, and the backs rely on the forwards in order to get that. Aye. And it's a testament to the forwards when the backs get the ball because the forwards have won it. But I feel like there's definitely like an intensity difference between the backs training and the forwards training. What is the difference in programs? Like, I'm guessing that the forwards is a lot more like weight training and...
Nah, I wouldn't say so. It's like, obviously we both gym and stuff, but we both do units as like separate units. Obviously team training together, but our units consist of scrums, mauls, defensive lineouts, attacking lineouts, moves the backs. You see them on the track inside doing missed passes and kicking the ball at each other.
Star jumps.
That's it, mate. So we're out there, we graph, like we're doing mauls up the full length of the pitch and back and scrummaging against each other. Look at the state of my bloody ears. Dust.
they're not too bad, though.
I got a bad one playing at the weekend there. That one bruised again, so.
Yeah. Agony. Is that what that is? Is it just like consistent just rubbing against it?
It's bruising. So I'm just like, I got cracked at the weekend. It just like fills up with blood. And it's just, it's niggly.
Jesus.
Then you've got to go Monday morning, maul and scrum. Yeah. Do it all again.
Do you wear a scrum cap or not?
Nah. Never. I look ridiculous. I look horrendous with a scrum cap on. They're horrible as well. They choke you, so uncomfortable to wear.
I know there's not, I don't know, it does help in a way. I know that Darcy wears one now, but I suppose that's because he kept getting thumped in the head. Is he's fully back to health now?
Aye. He played for Edinburgh the weekend. Yeah. Friday they played, so obviously the boys are in South Africa now, Edinburgh boys.
He's a nippy, to see the of him, it's ridiculous. Like, I was talking to Dewey about this, and he was like, me in a straight line, I've got you. But see, in a group scenario, Darcy just, it's bonkers.
I'd step me in a phone box, 100%.
But he's so small. He's just so agile. And you can't, his maneuverability is just bizarre. Like, you can see him, and there's snapshots of this. He'll be leaning, so far to one side to get away from people. And it's just really strange to see it. Yeah. Like, it's really, really strange.
He's powerful as well. Strong, powerful.
Yeah.
I wish I could move like that, mate.
You can. One day.
Look at the genetics, mate.
I was going to ask you something. So I was going to do a little bit of a more fun segment, because we obviously know a lot of the rugby boys, right? I want you to, just describe the rugby player in one word when I say the name, okay?
Right.
Just the first word that comes to your head. Just like quick fire, okay? Right.
I'll try my best.
Adam Hastings.
Tan.
Blair Kinghorn.
Weird.
Duhan van der Merwe.
Powerful.
Well, that's a good one. Darcy Graham.
Fast.
Finn Russell.
Weapon.
Pierre Schumann.
Competition.
Ali Price.
Oh, Smiler.
Smiler.
Smiley.
What's that about?
That's his nickname.
Is it?
Smiler. Boys call him Smiler. Oh, he smiles, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A Smiler.
I was talking to him the other day. I was like, you have just the fantastic hairline. I want your hairline.
Oh, fuck's with you, mate.
What about, I can't even pronounce this name. Who's the best player in France? Dupont. What's his first name? How do you pronounce it?
Antoine Dupont.
What do you think?
He's class, mate.
Yeah?
Imagine having him in your team. He just does everything.
he just carries the French team.
Tries, tackles, everything, mate. Like, one-man army.
He's also got a fantastic bum.
Aye.
Have you seen it?
Won Olympics, won Six Nations.
Yeah.
Player of the year 1 year?
Yeah.
Aye, best player in the world.
You look up best player in the world and it's him, right? Aye. And he's a good-looking bastard as well. It's ridiculous.
Top 14, won that, won Europe. Yeah. Fucking hell. The only thing is, no one's World Cup.
They will, I think.
They will at some point.
What do you think? Who do you think's got it this year?
When's the next
one? Or next year?
2027.
2027 is the next
World
Cup.
3 years away, mate. Easy.
I'm a bit early. 2027. I suppose the Scotland team's in a weird place, because the best players within the Scotland team are starting to get that little bit older now.
Yeah.
And they're starting to realise it.
Yeah.
And they're like, if we've got an opportunity to win the Six Nations, which they can do 100%, it needs to be the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Finn, who's getting a little bit older now. You've got Dewey, who's maybe 30 or 29.
I think Dewey's a year younger than me, with 30, right?
Yeah, 30. Like, they're starting to get to that level where injuries are becoming a bigger issue.
Yeah.
Who do you think has got the World Cup in 2027?
Fuck. I'd say South Africa again, mate.
Yeah?
Training. Just like... But then again, that team that they're fielding now... They're all old. They're not old, but they're all older.
They're getting there.
Like, XBF, he's like 33, 34 maybe. 35.
And he's still playing to that level.
He's unreal, man. He's an absolute beast. Like, Vincent Cork, like all the boys, front row wise, I don't know, Ox is younger than me actually, I'm sure he is. Malcolm Marks is maybe the same age as me. So they'll maybe be mid-30s by the next World Cup. And the backs wise, I think they've got some good units coming through. Like that's Sasha, I don't even want to embarrass me or try to pronounce his name, plays for the Stormers.
I've not heard of him.
Plays 10 or 12, he came off the bench for the Stormers against us in the quarterfinal. So he's been kind of playing 10, 12 for them, starting and come off the bench for the Springboks in the November series. What's their?
November series?
No, the Tri-Nations.
Tri-Nations, right. Rugby
Championship, sorry.
Got you.
So he's been playing for them there and he's class, mate. Like, I think he's only 22 or something. Like, I'd say South Africa again, mate. If they keep going the way they're going and like, because look at them, they've walked this Rugby Championship. All Blacks are always up there. You always say the All Blacks will be up there or there a bit. But they're not performing well under Scott Robertson. Eh?
Well, that's what I thought. Like, I do think that, you see, if Scotland got their, they're just, it's not even their defence or their attack, it's their mentality.
Yeah.
Like, you see, if they went into every single game as if it was England, they'd have it. I'm telling you, like, against England, they play their best rugby. And also, you always find with Scotland, in the second half, they play so much better than the first.
Yeah.
It's almost like on the first half, the nerves are there, they're a bit more anxious, they've got the talent, they've got the skill, but they just don't execute in the first half, whereas the second half, they always do.
I think, especially at Test match rugby, it's like, set piece is huge. Mm. Like, you're not going to win nothing unless you've got like a dominant set piece. Like, if you can win scrum pens, maul pens, and score tries. Like, backs can score your tries, individuals can score your tries, but you look at the pressure, for example, Springboks, look at the pressure they put on people just with their set piece. I know they got turned over by Argentina at the weekend, but like, that was just, I'd say, a fluke.
Yeah.
But the absolute dominance they showed at scrum time was scary, man. They can just generate a penalty every scrum, and you're in the corner and you're attacking in 22 rather than firing about in the midfield, attacking, defending. Line out here, line out there. If they want me, they just go penalty. Scrum, penalty, bang, corner.
Yeah.
Then you're camped, somebody's 22 and pressure's got to pay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Do you feel that like when Scotland are playing, do you or when you've played as well for Scotland, do you feel like there's the anxiety about going out and performing in the first half versus the second half? Do you feel like there's an extra level of comfortability in the second half?
Well, to be honest with you, I've only had 4 starts for Scotland in my 30-odd tests, but I've always prepared myself to come on the second half and be, like make an impact. But yeah, I can't really say, mate, I've not started many games, so I've not really been around that too much.
What about for Warriors? Well, they've been winning all the games, I suppose, recently.
It's easy when you're winning. It's easy when you win. Like, it's, I don't know. It's games, like tight games, like big games are this. You don't know what to expect. And there's never like there is that wee bit of anxiety because you're always thinking like, what if this doesn't go right? Or when you're in like the mix of 20 minutes and it's still like 0-0 or 3-3 or whatever, a really tight game. The doubt does start creeping in a wee bit. Yeah. Like, are we doing this? I'm all right here. Am I doing this right? And what happens if they score next? Or if they do score next, like, how do you get back on track? But the flip side of that, if you go out and score 3 tries in 20 minutes and you're up 21,
you're comfortable.
You're all right. Yeah. That's easy, man. Yeah. Every game should be like this. But that's weird, man. Like, every game's different. Every game is different. And like, I can't comment too much on test match because I've played a fair few games test match, but I've not really been front and centre in a lot of them. So I've always been kind of replacement. So
it must be really scary. Like, even thinking from like a outsider's perspective, like, how many people are you in front? How many people have watched the Six Nations when they're watching Scotland?
64,000, I want to say.
That's in the stadium. And that's in the stadium. And then you have obviously all the keyboard warriors and everything like going on in the background. Like, it must be, I was talking to Dewey about this and he was like, he was in a game, I can't remember which game he was, and someone was online on Twitter being like, you're shit, you shouldn't be playing for... Probably the most talented player in the Scotland team right now, or one of them, at least. And someone's going, oh, you're shit, you dropped the ball, like blah, blah, blah. I'm like, there's a reason that he's on the pitch and you're not.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the final, the URC final as well. It was Loftus holds, oh, what is it, 70,000? I might be wrong. Obviously, stands full. And there's something like 1.1 million people watching it.
Jesus Christ.
Because South African viewing numbers are crazy. That's what makes the league huge down there.
Yeah.
They're, I think, across the full season, there was something like 50 million people watched the URC. So it was also sung madly at.
Yeah.
So obviously, their TV viewing numbers are huge. And also, I put a wee bit, chirped on Twitter a wee bit after it. And I was getting serious abuse. They're like, guys, like, I can't remember one of the comments is like, you've contributed nothing to a winning. It's actually quite funny.
Do you get involved in that kind of stuff? Like seeing X or Twitter or whatever it's called? Like, do you get involved in the back and forth? Or are you
I post a picture because the Bulls have got a hang altitude. It's like 1,850 metres or 1,850 metres above sea level.
Mm.
It matters. And I put a picture, like, we'd been in the changing rooms drinking for like 2 hours. I was steaming by this point. I still had my kit on, cap on, medal, and I was like pointing and laughing like that.
Yeah.
And I was getting serious heat for that.
So you would.
And any comments, like a laughing face back to something, I don't care about it, you know what I mean? It's funny.
And you'll
if that riles somebody up that much, like, come on, like, it's a laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, social media is such a weird place, though. Like, you get everyone that comes out through the crevices that has an opinion. You're not really a social media user, are you? Like, you're not really on Instagram as much, or...
Nah. I just keep my Instagram to rugby pictures and occasional flying posts, but I'm not very active on it. Like,
And talk to me about flying. I know we spoke a bit previously. What license is it you have?
PPL.
PPL. So that's your private?
Private pilot's license, yeah.
Okay. And you're going for your...
Well, I'm going to just our build just now. So that's the kind of stage I'm at. Our build, then there's the ATPL to do, which is also consists of 13 more exams. A commercial flight license, multi-engine license, multi-engine instrument license.
Jesus Christ.
And then also you have to do your multi-crew stuff and all that before you can even think about trying to get an airline.
So how many tests is there in total?
Well, PPL, 1, 2, 3, 5 flight tests.
5 tests?
Yeah. I think off the top of my head.
Right, okay.
Plus 13 written exams. And a few hundred hours as well.
Oh my God.
So I just finished my PPL last week, done my skills test last week, passed it.
Yeah.
And I was 62 hours to get through that.
Right, okay.
And there was 9 written exams for PPL.
Hmm.
So finished that last week and it's just class, mate. Like, I got into it November 2022, started that. Hmm. Done my first lesson then. And as you know, mate, the weather in Scotland's most forgiving, so you'd go a week, you'd get a lesson, and you'd be 2 or 3 weeks after that for your next one. So try to be consistent, mate, was a hard thing. But also, like, any kind of breaking weather I got, I just try and batter the lessons in and keep progressing. So
Chisholm Hunter are the sponsors of the Into the Mind podcast, and without Chisholm Hunter, I would not be sitting here today. If you like luxury watches, if you like luxury jewellery, then Chisholm Hunter is the place to go. They're family run, and they have been family run for over 165 years. Yes, you heard me, over 165 years, which is absolutely phenomenal. Now, if you like brands like Tudor, Tag Heuer, Amiga, Vacheron Constantin, or pretty much anything, then Chisholm Hunter is the place to go to get your luxury watches. Or if you like bespoke, handcrafted diamond rings or jewellery, then Chisholm Hunter is the place to go to get that jewellery. Make sure when you head onto the Chisholm Hunter website that you use the discount code CHSUB. That's CHSUB for an exclusive 10% off the Chisholm Hunter website on selected lines. That is CHSUB on chismhunter.co.uk, chismhunter.co.uk. And without further ado, let's get back to talking with Jamie. You don't get scared? Like, I've got this really irrational fear. I travel a lot for my job, but I've got like a really irrational fear of planes, and I think it's because I'm like out of control. Like, I think, you know, the pilots know what they're doing. Yeah. You've just demonstrated the fucking loopholes they have to jump through in order to become a pilot. But when you get turbulence in a plane, there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Like, do you get scared about that at all?
Nah, to be honest with you, like, the first time I ever went up, it was Stuart McInally, Rambo, who I was chatting to him about it before starting, because he's on his way doing commercial. He's nearly, no, nearly done, but he's starting his commercial stuff, and he's way, way ahead of me.
Right, okay.
He's on the verge of going commercial.
Right, okay.
And he was saying, when you go up for your first lesson, you'll know if it's for you or not. So like the first wee plane I went in, it was a Cessna 152, a wee two-seater. And also I'm 125 kegs.
You big boy.
I'm an instructor. He's a wee guy who was flying me at the time, a guy called Ian Haggis. Ian Haggis, his name is.
Is he a Scottish guy?
Yeah. So he was my instructor at the time. Mm. He was me and him in the plane. His first lesson, I'm like sat next to him, like, fuck. And like to bear in the car, I had to like pull my leg up to get in the plane. I was like standing, like holding the wing on my fucking leg up, squeezing in. I'm sat next to be playing, mate, and he sat next to me. I'm like spilling into his seat and taking off. I'm like, fucking hell. I'm looking at the door like that. You're 2,000 feet up, and all that's between you and that is a door with a handle that can just. You're not going to fall out the door.
Yeah.
But like when I was up there, I was like, fuck, this is cool. Like once you're up, once you start taking off and you just see you getting higher and higher and higher, you're like, all right, we're away now. This is it. Then you just, but once you're up there and at your level, you're just cruising around. There's nothing better. And obviously once you do it more, you become more comfortable with it. But I could see how if, like first lesson, if you're on a wee plane and it's a wee bit bumpy or whatever, you could be like, nah, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
I didn't get me wrong, there's been times I've been up there, even up there myself solo, mate, and I've been hit with turbulence or whatever. Like, it wasn't that long ago I went, because for your PPL, you have to do a 10-hour solo flight, including a cross country.
So solo, that's literally by yourself?
Yeah. So part of your license, you have to do 10-hour solo.
Right.
And a part of the course is, it's called a solo qualifier.
Okay.
Cross country, so you have to stop at two different airports. Has to be more than 150 nautical miles. So on my cross country, I flew into Prestwick Airport, landed at Prestwick, flew Prestwick to Dundee, landed at Dundee, then flew back to Cumbernauld. But after that, I had like an hour and 20 minutes solo time to chalk off before I had my 10 hours.
Yeah.
So I was like thinking, like, where can I go one day? And it was a nice day, like it was today. I was like, right, I'll fly to Dumfries and back. So I went straight down south, flying down there, and obviously on the way to Dumfries, there's a lot of like high ground.
Yeah.
Also, high ground creates turbulence, all that stuff.
Is that because the heat clings to
like the wind and all that stuff, mate?
Right,
it's like,
okay.
Aye, you always get a bit of turbulence over high ground. So I'm flying to Dumfries, mate. Chilling, like that. This is like maybe 4 weeks ago. And next minute, I just like, boom, the turbulence, mate. I crack my head off the roof. I'm like, fucking hell. And it's just like, for that point on, the plane's like getting shook about. I'm like, oh, shit.
This is gone.
It's so enjoyable, you know what I mean? Like when you are getting chucked about like that, or it's a windy day up there, like it's so enjoyable.
Yeah.
But it's part and parcel.
Part and parcel of it.
And you know you're in control of the aircraft, like turbulence, it's not going to rip the wing off the plane, it's not going to.
But like, could it? Like, No.
No.
Right, okay. No. Not at all?
No. No.
I don't know. Have you seen the. I need to show you some of this. Have you seen the TikTok stuff right now that's like the Jet 2 holidays thing, and it's like the Jet 2 theme song over just a plane getting ripped apart?
Oh no.
Wait, let me show you this. This is so funny.
Is that one in Brazil? That plane, you see that?
I saw
ATR just spinning, falling out the sky.
Oh my god. That's
the
my
main thing is like icing and stuff. That's bad on planes. Yeah. So you can't, if you've got ice in your wings or anything like that, or like carburetor icing, so like icing an engine.
Yeah.
That's like, it's bad.
Did you watch was it called Plane? Was that what the movie was called? It was with Denzel Washington about the plane that he inverted and then he flew it. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I think so.
Not a true story, but
when he's drunk in it.
Yeah, and he's on coke.
There's loads of memes, he's like, I'm drunk now.
Yeah. I'm drunk right now in this room. Wait, look at this, right. So there's so many videos of like, just like planes falling out the sky.
Oh fuck it.
Like it's all fake. It's all fake, but there's just like there's so many memes of just like planes crashing and falling out the sky with the Jet 2 theme on it. And it just like seeing on the news turbulence and people jumping up, banging their head, and then blood everywhere, and then you can't control that.
Nah.
And that's terrifying to me. Like do you ever get that when you're not flying the plane now?
Like in the back, like if I'm traveling for holiday or something like that and there's turbulence, aye, didn't get me wrong. Like when we go to South Africa a lot with rugby and you always on the long haul flights, but you're always getting bounced about somewhere. And there is time, like, say you're sleeping or something, you get jolted awake, like, yeah, fuck, and you get that wee bit of butterflies. But when I'm flying, you do have a wee bit of turbulence here and there. It's like, it's just not enjoyable because it just ruins your nice flight, doesn't it? That's why I'd be chilling, cruising along, mate, taking pictures. I don't want to be getting hard to wrestle with turbulence all the way. But it's not what about, mate, a small plane.
So. I know. Especially, I suppose, a big plane's, I'm going to guess, more durable when it comes to turbulence.
Of course, sorry.
Especially like a commercial jet, like a EasyJet plane or whatever it is. Me and my pal Duncan, we went traveling around like Colombia, like we went like everywhere. And we were both terrified of flying. And obviously, like,
you're asking for it there, mate, flying to Colombia.
We just have to get really drunk before the flight, like super, super drunk. And I was flying back from Manila. And there's some place over the Philippines in Manila that's a super dangerous bit because you've got tons of cold, warm air coming in. I don't fucking know. Essentially, it's one of the worst bits to fly in. It's the worst turbulence I've ever felt in my life.
Oh, no.
And, like, there's someone beside me crying. There's, like, grown men and women, like, looking around. And, you know, when you start looking at the crew, and then you're like, fuck, that's, something's going wrong here.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's... I would enjoy that.
No.
I don't think anyone would. Like, regardless if you're a pilot with however many 1,000 hours or me that's just newly qualified flying wee Cessnas, mate. It's like, it wouldn't be enjoyable for anyone. It's not like, if you take folk up flying, like, hopefully, I can't take a passenger until my license comes through, which should be any day now.
I need to go with you. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice, mate.
I'd love to do that. Yeah.
But yeah, you just want people to enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I'm most looking forward to as well with flying, like being able to take people up and show them. I know you do a lot of stuff with photography and that, like showing the local area from the sky. You'll never, not many folk get to fly over the Hillfoots and actually see it from above. Like,
yeah.
Because we all fly through Glasgow and Edinburgh and just go south or north, wherever. Like, you don't get to see your local area from the sky. And that's what I find, like, first few times going up, like over Stirling and stuff, like, fuck, this is cool. Like,
it's beautiful.
It's your home. Like, you know what I mean? It's like places you've been thousands of times, but you've never actually seen it from up there. But it's good, mate.
And were you always into planes? Like or was that something that came about quite recently?
It's always interested me, yeah. But to actually start flying, it's only been the kind of past three, four years that I've actually like properly looked into it. And it was more a life after rugby thing. I'm like, what can I do? Like, what can I get into transition into post rugby?
And make it a smooth transition as well.
Well, hopefully. So I've just like, I've always been quite practical. Like, I've always, like, I worked with my hands. I've done manual labour before rugby in the abattoir. Manual labour. But so I was like, I don't want to go to university. I don't want to study for these exams and stuff, but I don't want to go to uni. Like, I'm not really interested in like finance or like anything like that. Like, so then I was just like, fuck, what about flying? I was like, why not? So like I said, I spoke to Rambo about it and he kind of pointed me in the right direction, places to look into, and done a bit of research myself and just got my first lesson booked, and for there I just kind of cracked on with it. So
how does it work with the plane? Like, do you, obviously you get your private license and you can take people up, and then do you need to rent the plane for a certain amount of time, or do you pay for the fuel, or like, how does that?
I just rent the plane per hour. So I just rent the plane from the flying school.
Per hour?
At Cumbernauld, per hour. So I just pay an hourly rate for the plane.
Right, got you. And is that expensive?
Fuel nuts included. It's reasonable.
A couple hundred quid per hour, something like that. Right, okay, got you. That's not too bad though.
Nah, the way I see it as well, like, obviously I've got savings and stuff that I do, like ICE and all that, but I see this as an investment as well. Like, all the money I've put into this, it's an investment for my future. So I don't really restrict myself on hours per week, per month, whatever. So whenever I can fly, I can hopefully go in, weather permitting, and fly when I can. So I see it as an investment in my future rather than just a hobby. So
yeah, that's because I'm going to Iceland soon, and we've rented a plane. We're collaborating with a couple of brands, but we've rented a plane to fly around Iceland and do aerial photography.
Nice.
It's a huge thing. Like, see, if you could make such a massive amount of money if you had like a plane and you just rented it out per hour for aerial photographers, because they pay above and beyond to get shots, especially in Scotland. Like, it's fucking stunning.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And there's like, I think we got a discount, but I think we paid like £800 £400 a person and we're flying for like an hour.
Wow.
And if you're paying like £100 for an hour or £200, you've still made like a fair amount of profit.
The thing is, you can't charge people. So I couldn't, for example, do that and charge you because I've not got a commercial license. So I can't be paid to fly. That's what commercial means. You can be paid to fly.
Right. So you couldn't, even though you're a private. So, right. Okay. So you can fly the plane, but you can't charge people for your flight yet.
No.
That's bullshit.
I didn't make the rules, mate. But that's so like, I couldn't take the boys. Like, for example, I can take anyone I want up with me.
Right.
But I can't say that guy's chipping £50 ahead.
You seem like the sort of guy. I was just looking at your watch as well. Can I have a look at that? Mm? It's absolutely gorgeous, though.
What year did I get that? 2010?
It's one.
No, it's 2010. Fucking hell.
It's one 20, of the
2021, maybe. I think.
It's definitely one of the new ones. The best of long Rolex. It's so nice, man.
2022. Because I played, it was after autumn test, 2022 I got it actually.
Yeah.
Because I played the autumn test 2021. And I was like, I've always wanted a Rolex. And yeah. I was like, right, I'm going to, my match fees that I get paid, I'm going to save.
Oh, that's nice.
I got it, obviously, cost 8.2 I think I got it for.
That's quite good. Because these are up at 10, 11 now.
I got it cost price.
It's so thin. Rolex do it so well, man.
8.2 I got it for. So I thought, I'm going to just keep that money in the account now. And also yeah. I went in the list. I got it within 3 months. So
yeah,
it's decent.
Have a look at that. See what you think of that. So that's
Tudor.
Yeah, that's a Tudor. So this is a Rolex Mariner. Mm. And essentially, Tudor is owned by the parent company, Rolex.
Mm.
And that watch is based on the original Tudor Submariner. Yeah. Mm. So it's based on the original Tudor Submariner because the guy owned both and he called them both the Submariner.
Yeah.
But it's a super cool brand. And it's also a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's like £4,000-ish. But there's something about Rolex there. Stunning.
I'll have that for the rest of my days, mate, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it sentimental?
I wouldn't say sentimental. It's like my first Rolex that I've ever owned. And
yeah.
I think it's after buying it off the back of like a autumn test as well. It's just like good investment. And I wouldn't say, it doesn't hold a lot of memories. It's just, I want to treat myself.
Yeah. You see a lot of the boys doing that. I know that Doohan, because he's got a Breitling now as well. So he got a Breitling from us, which is an unbelievable watch. It's like I got this beautiful green dial, leather strap. You can tell I'm such a nerd, it's coming out. But yeah, Darcy got a Rolex. He got one of the Submariner blue dial bicolor. I think Adam Hastings got one as well.
They got Daytonas, eh? Adam and Blair.
Yeah, they look cool.
Gold Daytona.
Yeah, he's got that French money.
That's, I wish. Maybe 1 year.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
I think my dream watch is the Sky Dweller.
And you're a big guy, so you can pull that off. I can't pull that off. It's too big for me.
Skydiver is beautiful, man.
So stunning.
Blue face one. Silver and blue face. That's my dream watch.
Let me show you a watch. So we got a watch into the Chisholm Hunter studio, who are the sponsors of the podcast, shout out. But we got a watch in the other day of a Skydweller. I think it was a white dial. We're selling it. Take a look at this. It's so nice. And the amount of guys that we've had come and inquire about it already, like they sell up so fast. It's just, it's stunning. The splashes of red and stuff that they do. Have you ever looked at APs?
No, it's out my price range, mate.
For AP? Well, if you sell the Rolex, you never know. Or...
they paid that much, mate. I'm on Finn Russell money.
There's APs and there's Vacherons. Vacherons are, so they're technically the oldest watch brand in continuous production. So they're one of the oldest watch brands in the world. And they do this line called the 56, which is, cheaper. I mean, it's about £10,000. It ain't cheap. But they also do a line called the Overseas. And have you heard of the Holy Trinity? No. It's like a AP, and then you've got Patek Philippe, and then you've got Vacheron Constantin. Right. So that makes up the Holy Trinity of watches, is what the nerds call it. But Vacheron is like the brand to go for at the moment, in terms of investment, but also in terms of just sheer quality. It's unbelievable. You've always been into stuff like, because you've got a nice car as well.
I've got a Jag. I used to have a Mustang.
You sold your Mustang?
That's long gone, mate.
Is it? Because I remember you coming to JD on your Mustang.
Or
not JD, David Lloyd's, I think it was.
Long gone. I got a shot at the Mustang when I moved to Edinburgh because I was commuting back and forth for a wee bit. So obviously running a 5 litre car to Edinburgh wasn't wasn't ideal, mate. Yeah. Full tank of petrol a day, man. But
yeah,
got a shot at the Mustang. Then I got a Merc C43.
Wow,
that was rapid. Yeah. I loved that car. It was nice, man. Yeah. But I did miss the Mustang. I've always missed the Mustang. I was like, when I got rid of it, I was like, that's a good idea. But then a year later, like, fuck, I want another Mustang.
Yeah. Was it like manual as well?
Manual.
Like, there's something about
5 liter.
Cranking it through the gears and like, oh my God.
I might need to get another one.
Yeah.
I might need to get another Mustang.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand this car back. So had the Mustang, got a C43, then I got a lease deal for a year on a Merc A45S.
Oh my God.
So I had a bright yellow A45S, but at this point I was in Bath and also just booting that around the country roads.
Is that my snoring?
A45S. Then from that, I've got a Jag E-Pace now, just a black Jag E-Pace. Nice car.
Is that electric?
No, that's the I-Pace electric.
Oh, the I-Pace is electric. I tried to get insured in the I-Pace, couldn't get insured.
Aye. It's like a Q3 size. Nice car, mate. I mean, that's, at the time, like, the car market was chaos back in 2021. And also, I just gave my Merc back because it was only a 1 year lease. I was like, try to find anything decent, mate. It's like nothing. Like,
ooh, I'm having the same issue at the moment.
Aye.
Yeah.
So kind of stuck with that. I've had that for the past 3 years, but I can give that back next year. And I don't know, maybe another Mustang.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah. You need to enjoy it, man. Like, I say this to people, like, money is great and like having money is great and comfortability is 100% needed in order to be happy. But you need to fucking spend it. Like, you know, when you die, you're not going to be like, thank God I've got like 100 grand saved up. You're going to be like, yeah, you're going to be dead.
Exactly. Man. You can't take it with you.
No.
You can't take it with you.
And I think that cars are like, they're such a boy thing, right? But there's something amazing. Are you for the electric kind of transition or are you?
No.
not at all?
No. So when you see people driving around in the Mustang Mach-E's, it's like, it's not a Mustang, it's an electric fucking Ford. not a Mustang. You can't say I drive a Mustang. Oh, what Mustang you got, mate? I've got the Mach-E.
Yeah.
No fucking way. That's not a Mustang, mate. It's just got the fucking horse in front of it. It's an electric car.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love my cars. I do love my cars. And getting a bit old, a bit older now, but it's like, I chopped and changed cars so much. And you do shoot yourself in the foot with doing it, like financially, but fuck it, like you say.
Yeah, you need to enjoy it. Like, you do, you need to enjoy it. And I think that I'm in the same position as you. I've got a BMW 4 Series at the moment, and I'm looking at other cars to get. And I want something with like a low lease. I want a 2 year lease, but it needs to be low. And they're just taxing the shit out of everything. And like, this would be essentially a business car for me because I work from business and I do all that stuff. So I can't get anything, like legitimately nothing. And they're like, oh yeah, there's these like 3 electric cars you can have. And I'm like, I physically can't do that because I travel to Glencoe. I travel to like all these places to do photography. It isn't feasible. Like, I need something that is either a hybrid or just diesel or just petrol.
Yeah.
I can't get taxed the shit out of, and it needs to look relatively okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just don't look great now.
Nah. That's bad, man. You can't be cutting a bit of a Volkswagen up, can you?
And they're great cars, but it's just like, it's hard to like, back in the day, I had a Mercedes CLA AMG. So it was the AMG line. So it had the same engine, but it was just a lot cheaper. So that's why I got that one. And that was like significantly cheaper than my car now, even though my car now is a hybrid and it's way more fuel efficient.
Yeah.
And it's just bizarre that the government are taxing the shit out of everything pretty much right now. Then you're going to get pay per mile coming up.
I hope not. That's chaos that happens. 0.15 pence a mile or something. Is it 15 pence a mile?
Yeah. But we're already paying the tax on the fuel.
Pay road tax.
Yeah.
Just pay road tax. What? Yeah. Fuel tax.
It's bizarre.
Like,
it's so bizarre. I just don't understand how it's kind of like come to that and how also like we're essentially getting double taxed there if that goes through.
I hope not. Vote no confidence for Labour, I think. Not that many politics at all, mate. Like,
yeah.
A little embarrassed myself.
Yeah. No, mate, I'm the same. I literally don't even. I've not voted for. Well, I definitely didn't vote this year. I don't think I voted last year because I think they're all full of it. It's really hard to like vote for someone that you know that they're going to lie to you and you know they're going to change their words. It's like, well, why would I vote for you?
Every party is false promises, mate. So I should just up sticks and move to Dubai, live in the sun.
So many people, you see so many people going to France and going to Dubai, like. Yeah. because there's just so much more money there. I think we had Amy Scott, who's Miss Scotland now. Yeah. She was on, I think, maybe three episodes ago. And she did that. She moved to Dubai. And she said, for all it's worth, you earn more money there. If you come into the country, you need to work in order to get a visa into the country. You need to work. Yeah. It's just the way that they play it. And they have, like, I think it's like 1% tax. You'd have three of those watches. You'd have two planes right
I'm
now.
I'm on plane, yeah. I'm on Cessna. Probably get done for something else.
I was going to say, how is the competition between you and Pierre Schumann? Is it like friendly competition, or is there like a like an element of like, I hate you? Or like, how does it go?
I wouldn't say. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but... Watch what I'm saying here.
Well, there's a healthy competition.
Competition. Like, I think it'd be different now that Suz is off at Glasgow this season as well, and I've got that competition going on, and I'm always battling with somebody, mate. It's never easy. You're always battling with somebody. But don't get me wrong, like, you always think you should be playing. I always think I should be playing, regardless. You always think you're on form and that, but then ultimately it's always one person's decision that selects a team, and you can never look too badly on another player because they don't pick the team, you know what I mean? And Scoom, he's a class player, he's a really nice guy as well, and I think he's a good player, mate, and
Who do you think's the most, I've asked all three, I think I've asked Ali, Dewey and Blair this, and it's really funny to hear their answers. Who's the most intimidating player of the sport that if you came up against, you'd be like, oh my God.
Fuck, intimidating.
Like the biggest.
Elizabeth.
Who?
Eben Elizabeth. He's fuck, man. We played the, last 2 years ago, we played the Sharks across in Durban. Mm. And it was his first game for the Sharks. And it was like a minute into the game, and me and Richard Gray in the midfield, he carries and he just runs clean over the pair as a 20 metre. Like, me and Richie were like hanging off him, and he just charged up the pitch, like a big 20 metre carry. I was like, oh, fuck, here we go. He's on one, eh? Yeah. Every line out, mate. He's just like stealing a line out, and he just like won every ball for them. He won man of the match. First game for the Sharks, mate. He just absolutely destroyed us.
Yeah.
But he's just an absolute, like,
built different.
Presence, man. The guy's a machine. Like 6'10", built like a fucking brick shit house.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Aggressive, scary.
Yeah, just not who you want to come up.
Just eyeballing you, mate. Just try to look away. You're like, don't know where to look. I'm sorry.
It's funny how you get those people that are just like, Jim Hamilton used to be like that back in the day. He was just the aggressive one. He was just the one that you just... He's just nasty. He's just a nasty person.
Nah, he is. He's some player, man.
Mm.
I say him, like, no, you'd ever avoid him. Like, if you're under, you got head down in the spokes, eh, and try and get him down. But
you have to.
He's a presence, though. Who else? Fuck. URC. There's not really anyone that's like scary. But like the couple of young lads for the Bulls back rows, like Cameron Hannicombe.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's a beast, man. He's class.
Yeah, he's good.
Elric Lowe as well.
Is he not really young?
Aye, they're both like, they're like 22. I don't know what age Elric, I can't even fucking say his name. Lowe, anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know what age he is, but I think Hannicombe's quite young.
Yeah.
And they're both fucking, they're some athletes, man. They're good players.
Aye. There's so much young talent coming up. Is it because Harry Patterson, was he, Ali told me this story when he was on, like, he was 20, was he 20 when he first started for Scotland, like last year?
The France game, I think he might have been 2021, right?
Yeah, 2021. Like,
just like off the bat, Steno's wife went into birth and he was like 24th man, and I was like, right, you're playing today, mate.
Yeah.
Fuck. He played well as well.
He played amazing. Yeah. Like, and he's 20, 21 years old. Like, I think I met you when I was maybe 19, 20.
Aye.
And I was like a pest. Like just an idiot. Like, and to be that accomplished at his age, can you see any like new young talent coming through that you think, wow, these guys are gonna be someone?
There's a couple at Glasgow, young lads, Fergus Watson.
I heard of him. Yeah.
Plays 15 as well. He's really good, man. Forwards wise, props. What's the boy's name? Jake Shearer, his name is, young lad, plays loose head. Yeah. He's good, man. Like, yeah. But these boys are 19-year-old, eh? Who else? I can't really think of it off the top of my head. They're kind of a couple that stick out to me. But I think, like, all these young boys coming through, the best thing they could do is just play rugby. It's like, I think you can get too caught up on, like, leaving school, then being part of, like, the Glasgow setup, like Glasgow Warriors setup, academy or whatever, then just worrying about training for Glasgow. Whereas, like, I think I was different because I came from, like, the club background to professional rugby. So I always wanted to play regardless of team. So if I wasn't selected at Glasgow, I'd be like, right, can I play club this weekend? When I was young, I can't do that now. I'm fucking too old for that, mate. Body being bits. But when I was, like, coming through and I've got selected, like, can I go and play club? Like, cool, go and play club for Ayr, County, whoever, Melrose. But now I think a lot of the young lads just want to be in the environment and just training to try and play for Glasgow. Like, almost trying to run before they can walk. Do you know what I mean? Earn your stripes with going to the club game, playing the Prem for 3, 4, 5 years, still being an academy contract or a first year pro contract, but then you start fucking tearing up trees in the Prem. Then it's like, right, this guy's actually decent. He's playing well at adult rugby, let's give him a shot. Whereas, like, I think a lot of them think they're just going to come straight in, train, bang, play for Glasgow, then fucking take off. Do you know what I mean?
But
it doesn't work like that. Like, you'll know last thing that's going to happen. In my opinion,
you need to earn your reputation almost like in the club stage before you get onto the Glasgow team. Or, and then,
you need to back up games, but you need to be able to play 15, 20 games a season without being injured. You can't just rock up, play a game, get injured, be in the physio room for fucking 4 weeks, train, right, play another game, get injured again. You need to be able to just build the body up to me. You need to be robust. Do you know what I mean? That's a big part of the game as well. It's like,
it takes a lot out of you.
Being able to string together 10, 15, 20 games a year and be reliable. Because, touch wood, I think that's how I've actually had no bad career at it, because I've been very lucky with injuries. Like, a lot of guys have been injured, I've been there and been fit and played. Like, that's like, I've racked up over 100 games for Glasgow. It's just, I've always been available to play.
Yeah.
Not that I was like last option. Or anything. Just like, right, everyone's injured, you're in this. Like, not take that away from myself. But
100 games is insane, though.
107. I've played for Glasgow.
That's crazy. And you're 30, and you're 31. You're still young for that number as well.
107 for Glasgow, 15 for Edinburgh. I think 12 or 15 for Bath. And I want to say 34 Scotland.
That's insane.
It's a lot of rugby.
And you've had, so you said you've broken, in terms of injuries, because I know that, I think it was it Dewey? Yeah, it was Dewey said that he almost didn't get selected for Scotland because of his hip, because he had that hip surgery. Have you had any, like, big operations? You had your wrist, was it?
My hand, just my hand. So I broke my thumb playing against Connacht. So I was on the bench. Uh-huh. I was told you a full story about it, actually. So I had a, what's that called? Is our name of the fracture?
You're like ball and socket, are you thinking?
Yeah, it's a weird name. I can't remember the name, sorry.
Right.
But it's like my thumb to my hand. Fracture dislocation there. I had 2 K wires put in to hold the bone in place till it healed. But it was only a 5-week injury. But I'd done it. We played Connacht away and came off the bench, like 30 to go. And it was literally like, came off, we had a line out, one of the boys backs me a line break, and I was like, oh, the front line out. So I managed to, like, beeline it to the ruck.
Got
to the ruck. There was like a guy over the ball. And I was like, I had to whack him off the ball. And also just like clocked my hand the wrong way. And as soon as I don't know if you broke a bone.
Yeah.
But as soon as you do it, you feel like hot, like flush in your hand. I was like, oh, fuck. And I don't know what happened, but the game came to a stop, and I just took a knee, and I said to the fans, I was like, came on. I was like, I think I broke my hand. I've done it to that hand. I broke that one playing club rugby. I could feel it. You can feel the bone clicking around when you do that.
Oh, my God.
So then physio came on, checked my hand, and he was like moving it. He's like, oh, you broke your hand, mate. But Big Ollie Keble started the game, but he had to go off for concussion.
Yeah.
So I was like, we've got nobody else to come on the pitch.
So you need to play.
So I was like, fuck it. So I was like, strap my thumb up. So strap my thumb up like that. And we won by a bonus point. We won quite convinced, actually. We won by like 50 points. But towards the end of like the second half, we were like on their 22, batting away. And we had mauls. Like, and I said to the boys, calling line, I was like, didn't they call it the front line? I kind of lift.
Yeah.
I got a broken hand. What did they do? Call it the front line. I'm like, try to lift the other fucking thumb snap clear in half. I'm like, lifting the guy. I'm like, fuck.
Are you allowed to play on when you have injuries like that? Is that?
It's a broken bone, eh?
Yeah.
I knew it was broke straight away. Like,
yeah.
I could feel it clicking about.
Oh my
And even like post-match, the doc, he's like, oh, you broke your thumb, mate. You need to go get a scan.
And it's such an essential like joint as well. Aye. Like without your thumb, you can't really do much. Like is that that's the, you'd rather break any other finger than your thumb.
That's 2021 Six Nations. 2022 Six Nations maybe. I've done that. Or 21. Because I got my Rolex the day I got my cast.
Yeah.
So I was in cast in my left hand and
putting your Rolex over it.
Literally Rolex on me. Oh, we've got your watch rate ready to go. I was like, fuck. I'm in a cast, I have to wear it at my right wrist.
Yeah.
I hate when I watch my right, but that's how I remember that. But apart from that, no, just two broken hands and the dumbbell incident. That's me.
But it's a subject to you training. Like I think that because you do your weight training, because you do your cardio, you do your fitness, it stands you in good stead to not be injured, right? I feel like when people, you see this when people are out for a while and they come back, especially in the UFC, they come back and all of a sudden everything snaps. They just break down because they've not had that consistency of playing. Mm-hmm. Because you've got like a rhythm and you've had, you know, the 107 caps for, or plays for Glasgow and you've had all those games, you've kind of got a rhythm and it's not like you're just, you're kind of warm, if that makes sense. You're not warming up. I feel like the forwards have it so much more rough than the backs. What's the worst injury you've seen?
Oh, I never seen it personally, but big lad JP Dupree plays for us, big lock. He's like, he's six, he's just shy of 7 foot actually. He's huge, man. God. And it was last pre-season. He was literally, they were doing like catch pass and he went to turn to catch a ball behind him and his fucking full knee went. Everything.
Just snapped.
Gone, bang. ACL, MCL, PCL. Everything you can imagine is gone, isn't he? He's still rehabbing to come back now.
Oh it's my over a God. Year, man.
I wasn't there, I was at World Cup, but that was, from what I've heard, it's one of the worst I've heard.
Oh my God, that's career.
Hopefully he comes back from it. Like he's no far away from running in that game, but you'd never want to see that. Or Achilles.
How? He must have just had his leg in an awkward position and it just...
For what I've heard, he wasn't like caught anyway or like he just literally turned and just bump. Just it must have been waiting to go. Just a funny way to turn your knee and it just...
Yeah.
You can do it through any... I mean, we were talking earlier about my pal that was running and just like stepped on a branch and he broke his foot just from stepping on a twig. Like it's really bizarre. Like if you just... These minor little angles, if you're just standing at the precise wrong point at the wrong time, it can just go.
It's like Achilles, eh? It's like, that's what scares me, man. It's like, you never know. You see folks just going to take a step and just like, bang, Achilles goes. Fucking hell.
Like hamstrings or like, that's just it's like a tough injury, isn't it? It's like not a, it's not just one you want to see, especially in training. Have you ever had any injuries or seen any injuries when someone's just training, like lifting weights or anything like that?
Well, that JP's knee was a training incident.
Oh, so that was training? That wasn't training, even a game?
That was in pre-season last year, right?
Oh, Jesus training. Christ.
Not I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm.
But sauna, mate. It's all down to sauna.
You think?
Sauna nice.
Well, that's meant to be really super healthy for you. Do you do that all the time? I'm guessing you
I don't ice. Sauna is my thing,
that's my
go to. Every training session, straight in a sauna after it.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Mm.
90 degrees, 20 minutes, and you feel.
Yeah. There's so many benefits. Annabelle, could you look up the benefits to a sauna just right now? And she's sitting there on Instagram, she's scrolling. But yeah, there's so many benefits, like statistical, genuine benefits to being in a sauna. I think it's like cardiovascular health. There's, you probably know more than me.
Not off the top of my head, but funny enough, I was in a sauna this morning, this afternoon before coming here, and one of the guys was in, one of the staff from Glasgow, and he was saying that 20 minutes in a sauna is the same as doing 20 minute jog at rate two heart rate or something. I don't know what rate two heart rate is.
Oh, so you get stage two heart rate. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
so like a stage two jog.
That's quite good.
So it's like doing 20 minutes in sauna. It's like for cardiovascular, similar to doing like a stage two steady state run for 20 minutes.
That's mate of you.
Yeah, so reduces the risk of vascular diseases such as high blood pressure, stroke, and
so stroke and neurocognitive diseases. So that's insane. Like I've heard Joe Rogan talk about this all the time as well. Have you seen the videos of him getting in the ice bath? He's like, oh.
I really do want to build myself up to an ice bath.
Yeah.
Fuck,
it sucks.
It's that mental battle, eh? It's that, yeah, like, oh, just the pain, the first getting into it, it's a hard bit, but once you're in, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I've,
yeah,
done it a couple of times, but no, like, consistently.
Mm. There's so many benefits to it as well. Like, it's the same as a sauna. Like, there's just so many benefits to it. Would you ever buy like an actual ice bath? I saw, was it John Barkley or was it one of the rugby boys has actually bought like an actual ice bath?
No, some of the boys do. I think Xander's getting one. He's getting one from Ice Bath Company, I'm sure they're called.
Yeah. And they sponsor a lot of the rugby guys as well.
The proper chiller system and all that, but expensive, yeah, man. Like, see, if I saw an ice bath combo, you're like talking 5k plus, eh?
Really?
So anyone here fancies sponsoring me? But we think we're getting a couple of ice baths. We got a sauna at Glasgow.
Yeah.
We got
yeah,
one put in 3 weeks ago. Company called Scotlanti Saunas. And so they put it in a big shipping container, built a sauna inside that, and it's just stuck at the back of Scotstoun.
But it's like cool.
The company who do the groundwork, CY Turf, have built like a fence round about the front of it, put fake grass, a wee bit of slabbing in that. Got a wee kind of sauna area, so it's decent, man.
Scotland's such a cool training area. I really like the Scot. I used to train for athletics in Scotland, Scotstoun, can't even speak now. And it was such a, like, just the whole vibe of it's really nice. Like, they've got the running track outside, you've got all your stuff inside, you've then got your weight room, like, everything's quite segregated, but it's like a really nice gym. Do you still go to David Lloyd's?
No. So we, obviously, I think David Lloyd's scrapped, or Glasgow and David Lloyd's fell out, so we could use the facilities there.
Yeah.
But then we now, well, we can use the Hilton.
Right.
But now we've got a sauna at Scotstoun.
So why
don't
we
need to go anywhere?
It?
And why would I want to pay a membership? Because all I would do there is sauna, an ice bath. But now we've got that at Scotstoun, I don't need to pay the expense. Hopefully we're getting a couple ice baths in the next few weeks as well. So I'm going to try get my ice bath. I think it's coming to winter, that's the thing. It's like,
you don't want it now.
You come out of the sauna, mate, it's going to be pissing me rain and like 2 degrees and having to try and get an ice bath. I'm like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Straight inside.
Who is it that you, do you normally bunk with anyone when you're playing away? Like, do you know how you need to share a room with someone? Was it normally Ali when he was there? Was that who you normally bunk with?
Ali, who did Ali share with? Hugh, a lot.
Hugh Jones, right.
I always shared with a Kebble. Me and Kebble used to always share a room.
Got you.
Who did Pricey share with? I can't even mind, mate, to be honest with you. Brain's shot. And Scotland camp, I shared with George Turner a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's and a big Maggie. Boy. He's Magnus a big boy. Bradbury, when he was, and if we were in the squad together or whatever, we'd room.
Yeah.
You can pick and choose who you want, but I'm no fuss, mate. You know? If I'm in whatever camp I'm in, I just take who I get and have a bit of crack with them.
I saw a video that was Adam Hastings put up, because him and Blair used to bunk, and obviously they're just mental. But it's like mental.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's covered himself in like shaving foam or something.
It's that TikTok, it's like, night bro, you're talking about stand cover.
Yeah.
It's funny, man.
It's just bizarre. Like, I feel like Blair Kinghorn is just one of those personality types that you just don't know what's coming next.
No.
Like, he's just so funny. He's such a funny guy. Did you see his nose?
Aye, I've seen that. There's some broken nose, eh? Like, fair play to them. That was the week before they played the final or something. Mm. And I couldn't. I've never broke my nose, but
it was a bad
one. I wouldn't like to.
Yeah. I broke mine. I think I broke mine twice. That's why it's so crooked. But I've got a big nose. Yeah. So, like, easy target. But yeah, that looked bad. Blair's was like, It was bad. Like, the guy tried to reset it. Did you see Ryan's podcast about Blair's nose?
I seen the clip when he called him up.
The poor guy. It's like all bandage and tape. So bad.
That'd be horrendous. Mm. Especially like, try to breathe as well. It's like you're blown out your arse at the best of times in the game of rugby. Never mind your nose absolutely full of blood and broken bones or broken cartilage. I just want to go off.
Yeah.
Let me come off, please.
Yeah. It was funny him talking about it as well when he looked up at one of the French guys, and the French guy was like, and he was like, oh no, like my face, not the face.
No thanks.
And what do you think of the selections for the Scotland team going forward for the Six Nations? Is that what you're going for? They haven't been selected, have they? Am I behind? No, they haven't.
There's autumn coming up, autumn tests. I don't know, mate. Like, I just want to. I've always said that, like, my kind of main goal is just play as well as I can for Glasgow. When given the opportunity, then I've always said it will take care of itself, but I've been on the flip side of that. I've been playing really well for Glasgow and not being picked for Scotland. So my main focus is just being the best player for Glasgow that I can. Then whatever happens off the back of that happens. Like, I think a lot of boys do get caught up too much on just being at the club just to play for Scotland. I mean, it's a massive, amazing honour to play for the country, but at the end of the day, Glasgow's your club. This is the way I see it. Glasgow's my club, and they employ me. I know the SRU employers and player wages and stuff, but Glasgow employ me to play for them. Mm. Then obviously anything comes off of that, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
So I always want to just be the best player I can for the club. Then whatever comes off the back, it comes off the back. I don't know, interview last week with Glasgow actually. And I did say that. I was like, I love playing for my country, and I don't see myself finished yet playing for my country, but I just want to see what happens, mate. I'm very chilled when it comes to that. I just want to be the best player I can, and hopefully things work out. Things always do work out. You keep working hard at things, and good things always come.
And so is that how it works? So if let's say you were signed to Glasgow and then you got into the Scotland team, do you get is that a bonus that you get for getting into the Scotland team in terms of salary, or how would that work?
You get a playing bonus. You don't get England, if you get in the squad, you get a bonus for getting in the squad. But for Scotland, you get for example, the World Cup, we got a weekly fee for being at the World Cup. But there wasn't a playing bonus, it was a full squad kind of thing.
Right.
But Six Nations in autumn is different. You get a match fee for the 23.
Okay.
So if you get selected in the 23, you get a match fee. It's always a bonus, you know what I mean? It's always lovely to get, but you can never bank on getting it.
You can't rely on it.
That's the thing. You can never rely on it. So
is it more negotiating contracts? I'm just thinking of people that are going across, like Blair Kinghorn, he's gone across to France. I'm sure a big part of that is because in France it's a bigger game and there's lots of money in France. Would that just be a bigger contract that he's on in terms of pay?
I imagine so.
Because it's French money.
French money, mate. They have big budgets. So obviously in Scotland, we have our agents and stuff, and the club has its deal or no deal, or your managing director, which is Al Kellogg, and your agent obviously deals with him for contract-wise, length of contract, finances, all that. So it's all done. I've never had any kind of bad experience with it, so it's all done pretty professionally. And it's all ultimately the SRU that's paying your wages, but obviously Glasgow has a budget, Edinburgh have a budget, and also the MDs get the budgets to work with. So easy-ish process if you're playing and playing well, I suppose. I suppose it's a different conversation when you're not playing well or you're injured or whatever, but I've always been quite fortunate that things have been quite straightforward.
Yeah, and how would that work? If you were injured in your contract, you still get paid while you're injured, but it's just... So let's say you were signed for 3 years, but you broke a really important bone in your leg. You would still get paid for that 3 years.
Yeah.
Despite not playing.
They can sack you. You can. There's a clause. If you're injured for more, 9 months.
Right,
They can medically write you off. But the SIU is brilliant. I've never heard anyone getting medically written off. I don't know if that's what it's called, but they can let you go if you're longer than 9. It used to be a year. I don't really know. But you can get the sack. They're usually pretty good. They look after you. Do you know what I mean? We're very lucky that we're employed by a union rather than a sole company. Do you know what I mean? A lot of these French clubs are all privately owned. And if you're injured or whatever, you're getting paid out, mate. You're gone. You're trying to find another job somewhere. Whereas, I think being employed by a union, we're very lucky in that respect.
That must be difficult. Can you imagine starting? I'm just thinking of Blair for an example because he's obviously in France. But can you imagine starting for one of those teams and then you snap your leg or something and you're gone?
Oh my!
And then you're out. What do you even do?
You're trying to find a job with a broken leg. that's the harsh reality. France is quite bad like that. No, I've experienced it, but from hearing stories and stuff. But
that's terrible. I can't imagine you put everything on the line for one of these jobs. Rugby players literally they dedicate their lives to it, and then to start with a team and then be you're out.
Aye, if you're not playing well.
Yeah, like
you can see a Khaleesi.
Yeah, might be like training.
Rassen.
Yeah.
The Rassen's owner was like, nah, you're out of shape, you're not playing well, and they're trying to get rid of him. Mm. It's like going to media and slagging the guy to the French media, saying he's shite, he's out of shape, and double World Cup winning captain. Just madness, mate.
It's bizarre. So how does that work? So the unions own the rugby teams here?
Just the SRU.
Or the SRU.
Owns Glasgow and Edinburgh, yeah.
And then France is private.
And France are all individual owners.
And is that just because the rugby is bigger in France?
I really don't know. I don't know if the French union have some sort of shares in the clubs. They must do. They must have something. But I think all the money comes for the guys who own them.
Yeah.
For what I know. Same with the Prem as well, down south, mate. A lot of them are privately owned. Mm. But you look at the state of them, they're fucked, eh?
It just seems like in France, like I remember Blair's stories when they won his team, won the cup or whatever it was in France. It looked mental. Like the streets of France were just filled. Like it just seems like it's a big sport in Scotland. I think we are more rugby oriented than maybe England. England are more football. Yeah. But in France, it just seems like it's got such a huge fan base.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Like, I said that clip, I think Blair put it on his Instagram. They were, must have been Toulouse somewhere at a bar. Mm. Just sat outside, and it's just like probably 100 folk deep, just standing. And then they put the trophy, they're all like, fuck.
Yeah.
With the open top bus tour in George Square, mate.
Like bottle of champagne.
Who's that? Who are these clowns? What's that trophy?
Have you got any funny? I remember, Ali was talking about a funny night out that happened with Finn Russell. So Finn cracked his skull in one of these matches. I'm sure he won't mind me talking about this because we have talked about it before. And then he was in Ibiza and the coach said, listen, look after Finn because he's cracked his skull. And he dives headfirst into the shallow end of the pool, which smashes his skull. Is there any funny night out stories that you've got about any that you can share that aren't that aren't incriminating?
Funny night out stories. Actually, a funny story involving Ali. When I lived in Edinburgh, me, Ali, and Magnus Bradbury. Ali, it was during the Fringe, actually. So we went to Why Not, and leaving Why Not, out on the Rose Street, up the town. And for some reason, we just thought we'd start fighting each other. So like me and Maggie and Ali are all just like physically fighting each other in the street. But like we're running up Rose Street, steaming.
Yeah.
And we're like punching each other, kicking each other, Ali falls on the deck, and me and Maggie's like booting fuck it on the floor, eh? Like proper, like setting about him. I think Maggie really hurt herself, or Ali. One of them really like twisted his ankle or something, like bad, eh? And we're like training on like the Monday. This was like Saturday, we're training on like the Monday. Mm. I think it was during the World Cup for 2019, and like we'd like booted fuck it Price, eh? in the middle of Rose Street. And like he was like, he really hurt. I don't know what he hurt. But it's like we're in training, it's like try to run. It's like, fuck, my ankle's killing me. Or his shin or something, mate. But that was funny, man. And like the folk walking past us here, it's like steering, just like scrapping each other in the street. Yeah. He's like booting me and I'm like booting him. And fuck, it was three stupid.
Big rugby boys just kicking the shit out of each other.
Even like end of season there, like after winning the URC, like we never really, it wasn't too loose. Like it wasn't, what did we do? Obviously, we just pissed up in the changing room after the game for a couple of hours.
Is that what you do? So is it in the changing room straight after the game you start drinking?
Aye. Right. Especially after winning it as well. Like yeah. We had like the trophy and champagne, the trophy
right.
And all that.
Right, okay.
It was good, man. So then, also we were in Joburg, staying in Joburg. So back to the hotel, up to like 6 in the morning, drinking all night in the hotel.
Oh my God.
And we were leaving that Sunday. So obviously, got up Sunday morning, straight to the bar, like a couple of hours sleep, straight to the bar. On the pints, like 9 a.m, drunk all day to the airport. And five of us, actually, here's a funny story. Five of us, the tight five are flying BA up the road, and the rest of the boys are going Dubai up to Glasgow. So it was me, Johnny Matthews, Xander, Richie, and Scotty. We're all in BA. We're all in business as well. So we had like a row across us. It was like, is it 2-3-2 British Airways business class?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was in the middle. And, so we've been drinking all day, get to the airport in the lounge, Xander orders like straight up martinis. He's rotten. I was like, chop this martini. But that's what I'm fucking steaming, eh?
Yeah.
In the airport ready, got up the road. And obviously a few more drinks in the lounge, get to the plane like that, I sit down. and take off. The stewardess comes round, or it was a guy actually came, older fella. He's like, oh, what do you want to drink, boys? After take off, and we're all like, right, can we have each one of the cocktails, please? So I think there's three on the list.
Because it's all free, right?
Aye, of course it is. It's business class, mate. And the guy was like, oh, that's going to take me ages to make. I didn't care.
Do your job.
With 11 hours, mate, you're going to have time to get a cocktail, you know what I mean? So all five of us had got the three cocktails and that, and I had had a sleeper to knock me out for a kip. And fun enough, took a sleeper and sat on my seat. And by the time the drinks came and that, like the food and that was coming out, I took a sleeper and I fucking just blacked out. woke up with 45 minutes to go to London, no phone in my pocket, nothing, table clear. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, just blacked out for a full 11 and a half hour flight. I think I ordered like these three cocktails, had like two beers on my table and that. Never even drunk one spot of them, mate. Took a sleeper and boom.
Can't remember anything.
Woke up 45 minutes ago. I thought, seat up, seatbelt on. There we go.
Feeling refreshed.
Aye. But then also, like, we had 3 days in Glasgow after that. That was good.
Yeah.
Went to, on the Monday, we went, you've been to the what's it called? Tap Yard, Merchant City?
I don't think so.
It's in Merchant Square.
Is it nice?
Yeah, really nice. Yeah. So we went there, had the kind of outdoor bit there, upstairs initially, and sat aside the Wonder Bar after that. Tuesday, we went on a booze cruise in Loch Lomond. It was class. Like, the Monday night, a lot of us were out till like 5, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Home, kip till like 9. We're on the boat at 10 a.m. We got picked up at 10 a.m. So like straight out.
Late 20s, that's hard as well. Oh, that's tough.
Booze cruise, Loch Lomond, drinking all day. I think at ours, 2 bottles of Buckfast as well.
Oh my God.
Then Tuesday night, Wonder Bar again. But at this point, I was like 2 in the morning home.
Yeah.
And on the Wednesday, we had like our players leaving dinner. And like, I woke up on the Wednesday, an absolute hole. Like, I was like, fuck.
I'm too old for this.
Too old for this. 4 days straight. But I mean, like, back in Malaga years ago, mate.
Yeah.
You drank 7 days straight.
Well, we were
you wouldn't be fine.
Yeah. I remember, so we were obviously in Malaga at the same time. I think I was there, like, you were the same period as us. I think it was like a week and a half or something. We were drinking every day.
Aye.
And I was like, wake up, go dip in the pool, sunbathe a bit, you're fine.
Aye.
Now you like, I wake up and I'm like, you like water.
Couldn't do that now, man. Like, but it's class.
You know what I'm actually going to show you something. You know what we've done recently? In this week, have you ever done smelling salts?
Yeah.
You've done these before. So this is the extra, do you want to try it?
Yeah.
So this is the extra strong ones. So I've been hungover before and I've taken this and it, like the adrenaline aspect just like jolts you awake.
They're strong.
They're bad, aren't they?
Fucking hell. That's good.
I need to take them now. And I was going to try them.
I'm okay. Fuck.
They're strong, aren't they?
Aye.
They fucking...
Some smelling salts you get and you're like... Like they're not that strong, but that proper hits you. Like.
That's bad. Mate, that stings in nostrils. That's like the strongest. It's the strongest smelling sauce I've ever had. Made my eyes water so much. It's the strongest smell. I got them from Amazon because I saw Joe Rogan do them.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, bullshit. I want to try them. And it just knocks you out.
What are they called? I'm waiting to get them.
They're called, did you do them?
Aye.
When you're in the gym?
Before a game. I'm changing them. Bang.
Do you actually? Aye. Does it get the adrenaline going?
Well, just spikes you. It just wakes you up a bit.
Like, yeah. It's just
shock the neural system.
This is not sponsored by these guys. It's Alpha Designs and it's just beast strong smelling salts. But they're actually really good. Like, see, whenever I'm hungover now, if you can force yourself to do that, it actually like pushes your sickness down.
Squares you up a bit.
It literally does. It's so good. It was fun. It's strong, isn't it? We did it with it. You shook it as well. I was like, oh, shit, buddy. Have you seen Joe Rogan do them?
No. Is he proper? Like,
He has these ones. They must be like industrial grade smelling salts. I don't know what they are, but they're stronger than that. And he does them with Joey Diaz. You heard of Joey Diaz? And Joey has like one sniff and just keeps going back for more because he obviously is just scarred his nostrils from all the time he's done them.